grace through faith. I talked to a cat the other day, and he was like, man, I really want to come to Christ, but I got to clean my life up first, get my sins together. I told him, I used to think that way too. I thought I had to change myself before I could come to Christ, but Christ changed me. Let me tell you my story, it starts like this. It's 5:46 in the morning, tossing and turning, chest burning, sermons in my head keep reoccurring, having visions in my head of a kid, crying at the feet of the Father for all the wrong things that he did. Now I'm sweating in my sheets, can't sleep, my mind keeps telling me I'm 6 feet deep, don't remind me. Even though I'm still alive, I can't tell, the way I'm living my life, I feel I'm going to hell. God, they telling me I should accept you, that you had to leave the world, cause the world left you. Reason I can't change, like a mystery to me, so I make believe there really is a heaven for a G. Even though they say you love the world so much, you shed your blood, God, I feel I'm too messed up for love. They tell me come as I am, but I smell like smoke. My whole life's full of sin, cause it's all I know. The Bible told me that you died for my sins. If I believe in Christ, to save me from the end, but I'm scared to ask you to save me. My heart's so evil, I got thoughts that's full of hatred, hurting people. I thought that first I had to clean up my life. Now I'm here and I just need to cling to the light. I'm ready to do it, but Lord, I pray you understand. My life is a mess. Will you take me as I am? Will you take me as I am? Just crazy, did you bleed on the cross for my sins to save me? But why would you die for me? My whole life I've been working for Satan while he fed lies to me. And now I'm hearing too much, trying to get a true touch of a love that can change me. I'm all screwed up, figure hell is what I deserve. But your word says we all fall short, so I guess we all ought to burn. Teach me, I want to learn how you can save a wretch like me before death says it's my turn. I think I finally understand, no matter my past, you still take me as I am. Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly, but you came down and died for me? Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly, but you came down and died for me? Will you take me as I am?
I had a few last words to give. I be telling people the reason to live, the reason to die. United with the King in the sky. This life is passing us by. I got no reason to lie. You'll never give the world enough. They'll hunger for more. They're fickle. Their ways are nothing to the wondrous Lord. More security than the man that left you. More love than the moms who kept you. They'll always accept you. Be everything you're supposed to. Let Christ rule your heart, mind, body, and soul. Cause he chose you. And if the world don't know you, it don't matter. You're God's child and he'll never disown you. Your purpose on earth is far from worthless. That's why you're glorified like been purchased, and it don't matter if the world don't see us, we still mean the world to Jesus.
Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly, but you came down and died for me? Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own, trying to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me when my life's so ugly, but you came down and died for me? Will you take me as I am?
Saved by grace through faith. It's not works, ain't nothing you could do, ain't nothing I could do that could get us this great salvation that we got, man. It's only Christ. So if you feel like you gotta clean yourself up before you can come to him, forget it, just come to him. He'll take you as you are, and he'll change you from the inside out.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that song, Will You Take Me As I Am. You know, I mean, It's really astonishing the love that God has, and really He's compassionate because He understands being a God and creating God class being. Because you see, God can only give birth to gods, small g, of course. You know, and I find people are struggling with that, but see, He understands that it takes something to develop into the person that He wants us to. We, you know, we come out the womb, that's just the very beginning. And it's something, you know, when you go from childhood to adulthood, you notice there ain't no 20-foot, 50-foot people walking around. You know, at some point we level off and it has to become internal instead of external. Amen. But giving honor to the Lord God, amen, Christ, who is the head of my life, amen, Jesus, amen, the blessed Holy Ghost, Pastor O, Pastor Gerald overall, amen, and his lovely wife, amen, hallelujah, from the producer, amen, and friends and saints and people new and old that I've met, and I tell you, God is, it's blessed, man. I tell you, that doing that Uber thing, you know, I do it to meet people. I do it to reach people because I could sit at home. You know, it take me 4 hours to make $100 driving Uber, but I can do that in 15 minutes. Hey, man, sitting at the computer. So, you know, it's not that I don't do it for money, but it puts me in touch with people that don't have a clue. You know, they have a false hope, a misinterpreted hope, and a misunderstanding because they don't know what they're up against. And they just have this dream that man has created that they want. Amen. And I get that. You know, it's not bad to have a dream because God gave us these intellects to design and He gave us all things to enjoy. But it's far more than that. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You and praise You. Amen. For this day. This is a day that You have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it because You made it for us brand new. Amen. We got here, amen, with our minds and our bodies because You were loving, kind, and merciful unto us. Father God, we're asking right now that You would bless us with the intellect of Your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that You bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of Your calling, the riches of Your glory and the inheritance You already have in the saints, the great and exceeding power You've made available to them that submit and obey You. Father God, we ask that You bless us with the knowledge of Your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we will be fruitful in every good work approved of by You. Bless us as we study to grow in the knowledge of You. Father God, I ask You bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of Your people and even my own. And I thank You for it, to give You all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the subject we're dealing with is why I covenant with God. And the primary reason is, one, He got all the resources. We bring us to the table. We're the receivers. He's the giver. And you got to go back. You got to, it's as you pick up the pieces, you begin to realize when God made Adam, if we all come at that same level. Adam came with nothing. He received everything. We come with nothing. We receive everything. But if you observe life, if you've been here any time, you see how people can gravitate to that to the point of where they become so possessive of these things in life. And they begin to think that they are God. I mean, even at life, how they live their lives any old kind of way. And the one thing about this is that the covenant establishes, it requires that you acknowledge that you are not God and that He is. and that you are the receiver and he is the giver. So, but, you know, I mean, he's been patient, you know, on the radio portion. You can, it's a song that says, "Will you take me as I am?" Well, from day one, it's always been that way. But God wants us to understand that he requires that we be responsible and that we acknowledge that he is God. And you'll find I've met people that really don't think they have to, despite the fact that they're going to die one day. You know, there's no escaping that. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how famous you become. This comes to an end. Every week I hear about somebody dying, okay? But that's not a problem if you get into this relationship through Jesus Christ, where you thereby, when you leave this body, you go up to another level of the kingdom of God, even to the very presence of God in the third heaven. So now, what God has, he has an evolutionary process that he developed. And, you know, last week I talked about the fact that God could have given Adam the Ten Commandments, which we're going to touch on today. He could have given them to Noah. He could have given them to Abraham, but he didn't, because it creates a track record. And in each case, you see the mightiness of God. The fact that by the time they got to Noah, man had got to the place where he, just as he is right now. That's why Jesus made a reference to the end days. And now when you talk about end days, remember that's the end of sin, okay? The end of the trauma of life, the end of all this evil, and those that are committed to evil, okay? And anyone that's not born again, sadly. But they had reached a place where they had evolved to some degree spiritually, to the place where, you know, there's one of the most challenging or debated scriptures in Genesis chapter 6, where, you know, some people think that was angels that had sex with women and produced giants, you know. But, you know, the one thing about the Bible, and when you study it, you find that you have to understand, I want to use the proper word, intersectionality. It can change on you. But one of the things, primarily, according to Isaiah 28, is that it has to all line up together. You know, it can be segmented, but it has to fit into the framework that God designed. And the problem I always had with that particular event, as the way they tried to teach it, is that Jesus said angels don't have sex. Now, if I believe anybody, I'll believe him. Okay, but I don't want to waste a lot of time on that. You can study it. You can seek God about it. That's what I would advise, because men tend to, again, gravitate to the intellect, which ain't a bad thing, because God gave it to us. But he want us to understand that he set the standards and not us. This is not a democracy. That was a creation of man. I mean, from the day one, and we're going to find when we go to the next covenant, the Davidic covenant, where the king come into play, okay, where kings. When now, at this point, God is the king. He's running things. All right, so we had just started into where Moses had began to, God Moses went through the process of life, you know, that he grew up and, you know, served in Egypt, and then he got a revelation of who he was, and then he went on to discover God. And he did, while he was out serving as a sheep herder, you know, he saw the burning bush, and it turned out to be God, which I related to as being what I was taught as a theophany. That's when God appears in a physical form. You know, and that the irony there is that it says in the scripture, in the word, that any man see God shall die. No man shall see God and live. But you see, God is, he can change the rules, which is God cannot lie. So that he manages mercy, okay, based on the objective. And the objective in this case was to bring Moses to the forefront as a leader. See, a lot of times, and the major thing was that this began when Moses was 80 years old. Now, I know, now at that time, lifespan would have been reduced to 120 years, as per se different before Noah. It went up to 969 is the highest, which was Methuselah, all right? But now, and I, you know, it's a statement that I say sometimes to people to get their attention, and that is nobody in the Bible ever had a complete Bible, but they all had to live by the Bible. Now, where we're going at today is when Israel is set loose after, you know, some controversy with Pharaoh, who is kind of like this country in some areas, sadly. Let me get my bearings here. Bear with me for a minute. I'm going now. Right now, okay, this is, let me give you a quickie. So Moses then got loose. God is going to send Pharaoh. We're going to Exodus chapter 7, so if you got your finger, you can go there, 7. And that's we go in there because at this time God is getting ready to deliver Israel. Now, they have been in bondage 430 years. Now, the deep part about it is that while they are in bondage, they also know they have a specific identity. Even though some of them, you know, it's if you read through the whole book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you will find that they did pick up some of their habits. But and that's why God is going to get out of them in the process of the bringing them across to the promised land. You know, the land of milk and honey. And it's amazing nowadays that can honey have to be certified by a particular group. It's not really that healthy anymore. It's amazing how man can mess up a thing. So I want to go with Exodus chapter 7. And let me see. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Okay, we're going to start there. Now, let's give you a quickie. I'm just running through this because, see, you can spend, this is another area, well, almost any place in the Bible you can spend a long time on. The point here is God made an agreement, a covenant with Abraham. Amen. Going back to Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15 and 17, that he was going to give him a seed, amen, that would be greater in number than the sand of the sea and the stars out at night, which are innumerable, and which means that the fact that that process isn't complete because we know, or I put it like this, statisticians say there's only been 880 billion people born since Adam. So now if we have a number, we don't have the number that is going to be, I think that needs to be considered when you think of the overall objective of God in our development. Remember, I don't know if you remember, but there's a process for new people. There are three phases of man. The first phase is from the book of Genesis all the way up to Jesus, from Adam to Jesus. Man, only people that had the Holy Spirit was priests, prophets, and kings. Not every individual had the Holy Spirit. And after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all men, any man that accept Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, which is another, don't just think of that in a religious term. That's an actual event that brings you in line with a yet a higher level of authority of the power of God. And what you're going to see here in Michigan, I know, and particularly in the Metro Detroit area, is a warm winter this year, with the exception of the week before Thanksgiving and the week of Christmas. I know people like to see their little snow and all that. But we've been praying for a warm winter because they want to jack up the gas prices. And they want to jack up the gas prices. Well, we get God to jack up the heat. God is, and there are enough of us praying. That's why right now, today in Michigan, in the first day of October, I think we got like 60-degree weather. And it's going to be that way. But they're going to see, this is the point here. They think they God. We gonna prove they ain't. God owns the weather, and we are His children. We have more authority over that than God, not God, than the devil does. See, and this is what life is about. A lot. If you get this, you gotta understand. A lot of things that happen because of spiritual ignorance, not knowing your authority and your power. It's kind of like they tell me about this bum that died and. After he died, they found out that he had $8 million in the bank. This guy's sitting out there on the corner begging. See, this is what it is with a lot of Christians. They have access to the power of God. Most Christians couldn't define what a Christian is. Okay, we have access. And that's what all these details in the Bible are to manifest to our imagination the power that we wield, because the power that God wields is the power that we wield. This is why we have to go by this process. This is why He designed it as we go through. So what is going on here is you got Satan working through Pharaoh, okay, and God working through Moses. Both of them were God worked through people, amen, and Satan worked through people. And it's this ongoing battle. But as it's a lot into this. They trying to attack my computer. Anyway, let me read this. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See how I have made thee a god to Pharaoh," small g, okay, a person of authority, okay, "and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet," or representative of me, a.k.a. God, all right? That's what a prophet is. He speaks for God. Because, you know, if you go back and you read it, Moses had speaking issues. He stuttered. And he didn't feel like that, gave him, he didn't think that he could impress anybody with his natural being. But see, that's where God comes into play. And you really need to get this revelation because, I'm telling you, because right now you're going to need to know who you are in Christ as the world turns. A lot of things are going on. I'm going to tell you, even though over there in Ukraine, we're just starting to get the word and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why Satan is moved on them. But if they get more knowledge, they won't need the United States to back them up. I'm telling you, God will turn them missiles. They just need to know what they need to do. See, with God, in certain situations, when you evolve, He expects a grown person to act like a grown person. And a grown saint has to act like a grown saint. Anyway, all right. Well, we read that first verse, "And I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet, and you shall speak." Give me a minute. I want to change Bibles here. Okay. It says, Okay, yeah, that'll work. It says, so the Lord God said to Moses, see, I have made you as a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet, and you shall speak all that I command you. And that's very important, okay? This is why you have to be in tune with God. Now, understand, what Moses, at his level of authority back then, you have that now because you have the Spirit of Christ in you if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So that means that the Satan is under your authority. He does not have authority over you. So quit making excuses for being crazy. Anyway, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of the land. All right? So I want to skip down. I'll read that. And God says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my people, my armies, and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by the great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel. Then Moses and Aaron did so just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 to Pharaoh, all right? And it's important for this to be this documented in records and other books that have come to light and have always been around. So see, not to mention the Egyptians have this account in there. See, so people try to say the Bible ain't real. Well, you got too much evidence to argue against that, and it don't matter. I met God first through the Holy Ghost, then I read the Bible. See, that's why I read the Bible, because come on, everybody that's been strung out on chemical drugs, no, when you that get knocked out of you instantly, and all of a sudden, you know, as they say, I was once in darkness, and then I came to the light. Well, you can't go back the other way. You know, you might want to go back, but I don't think people that really seen the light go back. All right. So this is the deal here, okay? When you come into this relationship with God, you enter into a covenant, and part of that covenant is protection and deliverance, freedom from everything. Now, again, every situation is different, which requires you to submit to God to find out the solution for your particular situation. And there are, I'm telling you, you got to learn. I know there's been a lot of different situations that happen with people. But again, I've questioned brought these issues to God. In my book, the name of the book is The Millennial Guide to Christianity Without Religion. And my producer, people that publisher, they added the word bold truth. I didn't put that on there. But the reality is there's some things that for this generation really need to be said. And I found that out in talking to them. See, a lot of things that we accepted just on faith, some of them, I'd say it's only probably only about maybe like in most cases, only about 3 or 4%. But they ask a question. They want to know why this isn't heaven on earth, okay, if as mighty as God is. And that was a question I had. And so one of the few times, one of those moments I like when I want to make sure God understand that I am in no way, you know, trying to diminish his authority, that's when I break out the knee pad and then I kneel before God. Okay, just like when Moses did, I kneel before him. But God could read your mind and your heart. He's the only one in the universe. Satan can't read your mind, all right? That's for the new people. Some of y'all old people should know that, you know. Anyway, it seems like he can trick you, okay? But he can't do that, all right? So the point here is that in this relationship with God, you have the benefit of his power and his strength. But as in any case, there are stipulations, okay? Very few people have taught, because I heard the word, it was being taught the prayer of imprecation, I-M-P-R-E-C-A-T-I-O-N. And that is a prayer that is negative, cursing, bringing the power of God against a situation, okay? And I was going to make a video on that, and the Lord told me, no, not yet. And so I obeyed. But understand that's an area you want to seek God in, because right now, if the Ukrainians understood that, because they're at the illegal action by Putin, who claim he's an Orthodox Christian, they could stop him with the power of God, just like they did in the Bible, in 2 Kings and 1 Kings. And, that's why we have that authority. And this is also why we have to go through this process to learn to be consistent in being submissive to God, because when Jesus comes back, we will be at that level of authority where Jesus is now, and we will have to deal with the survivors of the tribulation who's going to populate the universe. And we have to interact with them in the same manner, and we have to be mindful. Of course, the difference will be is you won't forget anything at that level. Your mind will be clear. Your mental capability will be at 100%. And that's why this is why God won't be taking no excuses. You know, you will still have emotions, okay? So you have to regard those. And life will make you have to bring those into check. You know, I still find people have challenges, and we all do, you know, because you evolve. And when God see that you got to a certain level, he takes you to the next level. And the challenges don't get easier until you learn how to submit faster. That was good. The challenges don't get easier until you learn how to submit faster. Then you don't feel depressed. Why? Because you're trusting in God for the resolution. And that's what this is about. It's a long, drawn-out process, but it says God will resolve this. Now, they didn't been in captivity 430 years. The Egyptian army was one of the mightiest on the planet at that time. And just walking away, Israel was unarmed. So you're talking about walking away from an armed, mighty army. And all you know is this invisible God. and it's good, because you have to know this, because we're in the same situation now. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. But what I found that a lot of times, because I've questioned, I'm like, okay, God, why did this happen? Okay, a good example is these shootings in school. The shootings in school are happening. The victims are the result of not having a covenant with God, or coming from a family that has a covenant with God but no knowledge of God. And not knowing how to command angels. If God, think about this now. If God has innumerable angels, they don't need them in heaven, because there is no drama or chaos. What are they for? And if it says that they serve the heirs of salvation, which is the body of Christ, if they're not doing something, why not? And I would suggest you ask God. Okay? Because, again, there's criteria about it. That's what all this is. See, again, God could have bypassed all this. He didn't have to go through this drama. Okay, but now. Okay, so he done told Moses to take Aaron, and Aaron going to be the spokesman, thus saith the Lord, and go to Pharaoh and That's supposed to bring a resolution. Actually, it's going to take 10 trips, okay? All right. So what happened is, matter of fact, we're going to read this. We're still in Exodus chapter 7. Now, Aaron and them that showed up at Pharaoh's crib, and, I keep forgetting, y'all young folk, y'all know, a crib is not a baby crib, it's your house. That's 60s terminology. All right. It says, and then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, when Pharaoh speaks to you, say, show a miracle for yourselves. Then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and then let it become a serpent. It's interesting, yeah, I'm telling you. And so Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded. That's a key for getting things done. Just as the Lord commanded. See, get a word from the Lord. This is why you have to spend time for God. You can't always run to your pastor for prayer. Because if he's down there in South America preaching, then what you going to do? Okay? You got to know how to go to God for yourself. Most pastors, I know Pastor O, amen, and my pastor and all the teach people how to access God themselves. You need to be listening. Quit skipping Bible class. It's that for a reason. It's not just, this is college level stuff. And you know, you want to understand this because this is critical because just as it said, they did just as the Lord commanded. There's people trying to do their own thing now in a lot of different ways. Okay. It says, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called wise men, the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord said. All right. So, now, understand, there's power. See, again, there's power. See, a lot of people right now, I saw this video, and they were talking about the increase of witchcraft. No, it's a decrease in the power of God being utilized by the body of Christ. Satan ain't grown. His army has not grown. He cannot produce angels, okay? So his army hasn't grown. His power hasn't grown. God has not given him more power. What has happened is those who have authority haven't been using it. Because they caught up in religion. You know, they caught up in selfishness. And God is going to break a lot of that off. Well, he's going to do his part. But this is what happened. So don't think Satan ain't got no power. But he just doesn't. This clearly shows is Aaron's rod ate all three of theirs. Okay, just sucked them right on up. Okay. The greater one, John 4:4 said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Okay, you know, they just had this celebration of Halloween. And anyway, then they call it a satanic holiday. You know, the point of the matter is, you know, there are incidents in the Bible that demons show up. But when Jesus showed up, I believe in Mark chapter 1, is in Mark chapter 5, what we got here, in Acts chapter 19, it was some people playing church, got beat up by a demon. They are real. That's why you have to acknowledge the reality of the levels of authority and beings in this world. For Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, they get ready to have the national elections here in America. And, you know, I don't care who get in office. I care because it means that there's more likelihood that the person elected may be submissive to God, you know. But the Bible shows clearly that if the righteous are in authority. Now, see, when people read that, they tend to refer that as if you elect this certain politician who claim they're Christian, which I've seen that 95% of them, once they get elected, they act like atheists. But I think my perception of that scripture is when we in the body of Christ who walk upright before God, stand before God and pray, we can change the situation. We can turn the situation. That's where the power lies, and you see that through the Bible. All right? Now, here again, now mind is that this whole situation is a, as they call a type or a shadow, and it represents what's physically, what is going to become spiritually. Now, spiritually does not mean that it is a signifying or just indicative. It is actual. Spiritual is the real world. This is why my spirit could send signals to my brain. My brain connects with the physical world. God does not talk to your brain. He talks to your spirit. He doesn't deal with your flesh. He deals with your, you deal with your flesh. See, we glance, we speak out, amen, through our bodies, all right? Now, so now what begins after that, Pharaoh, when it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart, that you don't want to get to a place where God turns from you. You know, in the book of Numbers, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read that. Romans. Now, understand, when Paul was writing all this, he was basing these writings off of the Old Testament. Now, Paul, being a Pharisee, which means he was aware, he studied under a man, a doctor of the law called Gamaliel, and don't quote me if I'm wrong on his name, pronouncing his name, but the point is that his reference to the New Testament is, in a lot of cases, particularly the epistles, are a commentary of the Old Testament. The difference is the power change that came through Jesus Christ. Okay? So, beginning in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And in your own time, read and study and pray. Don't read. Don't just pick it up and read it. Ask God, pray 10 seconds and ask God for a revelation. And it says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping thing. That's really dumb. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves." Don't that sound familiar? "Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. But I want to go back to verse 28, and it's another verse, but even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, you got to understand the Egyptians evolved too, but they chose not to seek God. Mind you, that culture was existing when Abraham was existing. Think about that. After the flood, there was Noah, his three sons, and their four wives. They only knew, had the knowledge of God. But how, you know what people tend to do quickly, they try to democratize the faith. And it didn't take long before they start developing all these goofy religions. Come on, now I've seen, when you see, come on, you're going to come up with, the best you can come up with is a human body with a dog head. If that ain't a delusion from the devil, that's him really criticizing man. And see, the thing, you got to be mindful of this guy, Satan. He ain't God, he ain't you. He ain't your friend, he ain't going to never be your friend. He come up with stupid stuff all the time. I mean, and people just fall for it. It amazed me how Christians get sucked in. You cannot let your emotions dictate your actions. That's why a lot of people in prison, that's why a lot of people's lives are messed up. You have to grab. That's what this life is about. See, the laws that God is going to give let you know when you're out of order. They can't make you do anything. You decide. That's why you be held accountable. And God demands accountability. That's the biggest thing about this. See, when he makes law, he know you're going to get out of line because he also, you're being challenged by an invisible person in a visible world. See, and he's, like I say, he's been running this, he's studied this psychology for 5,000 years. He know how this game works. All right. So, in the background, Pharaoh is being manipulated by Satan. You know, he talking in his ear and telling him who he's God, because he really had that delusion he's God. How you think you God and you know you came out your mama's womb? What kind of dumb stuff is that? But anyway, and mind you, he came from Noah and his three sons. That's where he came from. But yet by this time, they done got into the delusionary man. Don't follow stupid people. Because it ain't going to work for you. And you're not going to be able to tell God, well, this sounded good, you know. But God's word is what his word is, period. Now, so Pharaoh, then he nutted up. God withdrew from him because he made no effort to repent in his lifetime. Matter of fact, when he came on the scene, he came on hard, okay, because he didn't think there was anything above him. You know what? I was reading the commentary of Julius Caesar, which was the first Caesar, the same process went. Same played that same game on him, you know. And he really thought he was God because, you know, he was nobody above him. He started out like a lot of politicians, you know, I'm going to do this for the people, I'm going to do that for the people. And then once he got in there, the commentary said in his heart, he said, there's none above me. Wait a minute, dude, you didn't put the sky up there. How you get that done? And then later on, his Congress stabbed him. That ought to be a lesson to somebody. And each Caesar did that. They all had the same format. Why? Satan played the same game each time. Because we the same. He don't come up with nothing new at all. All right. All right. So we're going to run through the plagues. I'm not going to go into detail about each one, all right? So this is the process. Moses and Aaron are with the Pharaoh. Pharaoh going to be a hard head like the government is now, and God deals with him, all right? Now, because he's creating a track record, okay, a track record. This is our God. I'm proud of my God. I'm telling you, he's a bad dude. it says in the scripture, you don't want to end up, it's a terrible thing, I believe in Hebrews 10:31, it says a terrible thing to end up in the hand of an awesome God. God will crush you. I mean, but the magnitude of who he is. And see, if we mature, he will let us peer into and utilize more of that power. I'm telling you, we're not going to have the almanac says we're supposed to have a severely cold winter. Watch and see that though. Not here in my house, not in this state, not in this Michigan. And you know, and the challenge is that we're surrounded by people that don't believe God at all. Or don't believe God as they should. But it one thing you'll see through the Bible is that it don't take a many to get the job done. And that's what I like about God, because one thing is clear. When it get done, it was done by God. I'm not paying no $1,000 gas bill. Not here. And it's seeing them folk over there in Europe, if they get a hold, some of them have. I know in England, they're having the same thing. But I know some sanctified folk over there in England. You know, a lot of folk, a high percentage of them are under that the Pope, and they don't pray like that, see. So, you know, according to what you know. All right, so the first plug, I'm not going to go into, because there's some books out, teachings on why God chose specific plagues. It's something you really want to know, just for an FYI. But the first plague was he turned the water into blood. See, God controlled life. I mean, this is just awesome. See, I'm telling you. And when you're in a situation, I would say if your back was in the wall, let's say if I was in the Middle East, they wouldn't be cutting my head off. I wouldn't let them do it. I wouldn't let them do it. I'd be using the power of God against them. At this time in life, when there's judgment, when God has sent judgment into the earth, this is something you ought to be cautious about, that we are allowed to use the power of God for defensive purposes. You know? And I'm feeling peace in my spirit in saying that, so that's a good thing. You know, I didn't get the hand to not say it. Yeah, praise God. So the first one was he turned water into blood. Because you look at the chemical reaction that has to occur, the molecules that have to be rearranged to cause that to happen. You will have that capability. And that's why God wants your behavior to be identical to his. He say, be ye holy as I am holy. And you in this life get that chance to experience those challenges emotionally. Remember now, God got emotions. He had them before we had them. I mean, he could have just, you see the flood, if you want proof of the flood, the Grand Canyon is proof of the flood. I don't know if you knew that. There's some atheist scientists found that out. All right, and the second plague was frogs. I mean, just brought them up. Just brought them up, because God could communicate with these creatures. The third was lice. You know, let me see if I can get you some. I'm going to at least give y'all some scripture. The water, the blood was in Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 through 24. The frogs began at verse 25. The lice in Exodus chapter 8. Okay. And in the now then he brought a herd of wild animals and flies. You know flies can get on your nerve. And I mean, when he brought billions of them, trillions of them, you know. That was the fourth. The fourth one was flies and that you know, you ever been stuck by a bit or whatever, them big old nasty looking flies. You know, I was in the backyard one day and one of them landed on my leg and I could feel it sticking into my leg. You know, then he messed up their livestock with pestilence, you know. See, God can interrupt your economy. And see, the process, the thing about this is knowing when to utilize such authority and power. and being sensitive to God. And this is where when Satan was challenging Jesus, and he said, and Jesus responded, he said, tempt not the Lord your God. See, you can't just run out and get into a situation and utilize the power of God to get out. See, remember that. You can't, this is the same thing. When you go out and you get 15 debt credit cards, you know, and then start talking about your God supply all your need according to his riches and glory, you're going to be filing bankruptcy. Because God ain't nowhere told you to get in that much debt, okay? Wisdom have to be applied. You go out, you work in that. I saw a situation where this guy, he was a grass cutter, and he bought a house for $500,000. Now, he had good intentions, okay? But if he did not seek God for a detailed plan on how to acquire what he was seeking. See, he wanted to do his own thing and want God to bless it. That don't work. You know, God will bless his will, not yours, okay? All right. Then the next plays with boils. And, I mean, these things, I've read different commentary. They were like cancerous boils. I mean, that means anybody touch you, the wind touch you. I don't know if you ever felt that, but they were painful, okay? Very painful, all right? And the seventh one was thunderstorms of hail and fire. Listen, I've been rained, though, once when I was young. Got hit with rain. It was so heavy and hard, it knocked me to the ground. Hell would beat you down, man. You'd be dead. I mean, if God dropped it down, you in big trouble. See, you in big trouble. All right. Number eight was locusts. And you know, recently, last year, if you go on YouTube type in locusts, you'll see in the Middle East where they was over there having fun cutting off Christians' head were being attacked by locusts. Matter of fact, they're getting attacked now, and that's why they're getting floods in the dry lands and drought in the where they should have water because of what they've been doing against God's people. Oh, God is not only answering things, and this is something to be conscious of too. He's answering faster, you know, and I saw something the other day. I didn't say nothing. I used to say something on Facebook, but I've said it before. Listen, this is what I was talking about. There was a pastor, there was a man of God, amen, and I don't care. I don't know all the deeds. I don't know what God has assigned them to. All I know is that I am prohibited from being anti-body of Christ, okay? Anti-Christ. I can't speak against anybody in the body of Christ. I don't even have to know if they say they believe on Jesus Christ. I have to honor that, all right? So, and particularly the men, the leadership, all right? God, there ain't nobody escaping out of here. If they corrupt, God know it. But don't lose your blessing, okay, because of that. And because a lot of people don't know what they think they know, all right? But don't get yourself caught up because, see, what God is doing this year, you don't want plague in your household because your mouth went off about somebody else. Let God handle that. I'm like, you know what, I pray for him. I always pray for him. You know, once I read in the book of Numbers, which I call the book of pastors, you know, my brother is younger than me, but he's a pastor, period. That's like being a general in the army, all right? Doesn't matter. He gets full respect, you know? I would not care, even though I don't know anything negative, you know, other than, you know, think he can drive faster than me. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But the fact is, he's a pastor. When somebody, see, and I don't care what denomination, like the Pope, I respect the Pope. Okay, you know, I pray for him. I want to see God deliver, just like I want to see a sanctified president before Jesus come back. I want to see a sanctified pope. They ain't even been close, you know. I want to see that. Man, do you know, look, always think about bringing forth the glory of God. Don't get on all that complaining. God knows what's going on. He's omniscient. He is looking at how you deal with it, all right? You don't want no locusts come visiting you. All right? Number nine, it was darkness for 3 days. 3 days and nights. 3 days and nights. Now, that, it said it was so dark. When you read it, it said it was so dark you could feel the darkness. You know? And I've seen some dark nights lately. I mean, lately, things are coming back. And Jesus said, you know, he said such as it was in the day of Noah, but I know that everything in there is going to come to pass. And then it comes down to the death of the firstborn, which is indicative, you know, in a way, it's kind of like payback. But this is the process that we're going to pick up next week, the process that the children of Israel has to go through to prepare for the night of terror. Amen. Hallelujah. It's something, and that is going to bring the plague that brings them out, you know, the death of the firstborn throughout Egypt. Amen. You know, I just thank God. I thank God for all you that are praying for me. Amen. Hallelujah, because this is good. This is really good, because it went as it does. It went where God wanted it to go, because I didn't have Romans in my list, but I followed the Holy Ghost, but it fit it right in there. All right, so maybe this is the first time you're listening and seeing this, and hopefully it's before the rapture. The rapture's coming, saints, I'm telling you. It's just too much happening. But for the new people, you got to understand some things. The Bible gave us an outline of what to expect before the rapture, and for the first time in history, all these things are in play right now. There's a meteor headed toward the earth. The president signed an order that is going to make the whole world cashless. I mean, we have the technology in place for the two witnesses to come. In Israel, they're about to rebuild the temple. They're already, the World Humane Society, a couple of years ago, approved Israel to slaughter the red heifer calf. That's something that is going to happen. God wrote about it for us to see as a sign. What Putin is doing is going to set up World War III, which he is going to lose bigly. So, you know, there are people in denial because they are caught up in these things on the earth. Listen, all this will be here. Well, most of it will be here after Jesus come back. And the only thing that will be missing is what we won't need, because we won't really, if you get saved, you won't need a car. If you drove a car, it'd just be for the fun of it. But you won't need one, and then there'll probably be hydro-powered or whatever back then, but when Jesus come back, because there'll be nothing that pollutes. He knows the proper technology, and they ain't caught up in money, and everything will be free, and life will be beyond what you can imagine. Anyway, to get to that place, you just need to say this simple prayer, and that is, Lord God, I believe your word, and I will trust in you, and I believe you sent your son to die for me, and I acknowledge that, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now, and I thank you, Lord, that I am forgiven, and I am restored. And I am your child. I am born again. And I say with my mouth and I believe in my heart that I am saved. That's just that's the deep part. Because we're going to definitely, in one of these weeks, we're going to see how distinctly different that is from the Old Testament to the New. So, amen. We'll see you. And remember this, prayer works by faith. Oh, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom.
Look at me, I'm all the way turned up. I ain't smoking, but my homie in here burnt up. Yeah, I'm working on him, but he straight though. Couple girls tryna twerk it on me, wait, no, no.
Hold up.
Before you even roll up, I'm in here with my lady, can't you see me, man, I'm sold up. Man, I'm in here tryna celebrate a birthday. And you know I'm good on well, it's a work day. No matter, we still gon' kick it, and we ain't getting trippy. No Molly in my sippy, ain't fighting nobody, ain't nobody said tripping. And Southeast Dago in the building, shout out to Peter Pan, Skyline Imperial, we out here tryna function. Holler if you with it though, probably think I'm rolling, I'm just high on the spirit, bro. The only thing we popping is the truth, y'all don't hear me though.
They probably think I'm rolling, I ain't on nothing. They probably think I'm rolling, I ain't on nothing. They probably think I'm rolling, I ain't on nothing. But what I got, you need to know about the homie. I'm turnt, 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 I'm turnt. Everybody slow motion, leaning off the potion. I tell them I'm straight, trying to keep my mind focused. Came 40 deep, clicked up, crew love. Got them looking at us crazy cause we so turnt up. Yeah, homie, I'm turnt, I'm turnt, I'm turnt, I'm turnt. I ain't popping, rolling, and I ain't burnt. So tell Mary and Molly, I don't need them to party. Someone woke up in the lobby trying to locate their wallet. While I'm 9 holes in, trying to work on my hobby. And I wish somebody would get me started. Hey, deuces up to Nipsey, K Dot and Gang. I'm out here in the West, don't holler at me, man. My bloodstream clean, nothing running through my veins. It's 116, yeah, I'm still unashamed. I call it network, if I'm out here fishing. You know I'm with the clicking, man, we out here trying to kick it. You know that we turn.
They probably think I'm rolling, I ain't on nothing. They probably think I'm rolling, I ain't on nothing. They probably think I'm rolling, I ain't on nothing. But what I got, you need to know about the homie. I'm turnt, I'm turnt, I'm turnt, I'm turnt, I'm turnt.